Dear friends, the Christian life is marked by a continual repentance, a continual returning, a continual resting in Christ. We can never hear the gospel enough. We can never hear enough the promises of God to sinners as we are, that those who come to Christ, Christ will save. And that as we come most eagerly to the Lord Jesus, we can rest that in Christ we are justified. In Christ we are pardoned. In Christ we are wholly acceptable to God. And thus with joy we may thus serve our God in the world. Friends, out of seeing the magnitude of the grace of God, we thus serve Christ with gratitude in the world. And so I want us to think today about our labor, about the work that God has given to us. All of us have been given work by the Lord to do. Good labor that is profitable and is good for us. And so I want us to examine that, and we'll be today in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 8. The title of this morning's sermon is Joyful Labor in the Lord. Joyful labor in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 7 to 8. My friends, let's read God's Word together. We'll start up at verse 5 and read down to verse 8. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free." Dear friends, this is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Father, we come now to your Word. Father, your Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Oh Lord, by your Word, you reveal to us our intentions. You reveal to us our words and works. Father, we know in truth that we are often so blind to our sin, so hard and callous in our disobedience, Lord, that, Father, our hearts often grow cold to your grace, cold to your mercy. We pray, Father, that by your Spirit you would take the word of truth and pierce us, convict us, console us, conform us, dear Father, into the likeness of your dear Son. Lord Jesus, we are your bondservants. We are your slaves. We belong to you. Lord Jesus, you have liberated us from bondage to sin that we might enjoy you, Lord, and know the freedom that comes under your sovereign reign. Lord Jesus, let us see our work. Let us take joy in the labor before us. Father, train us, Lord, to glorify you in the world. For we ask everything, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen, friends. This morning, I want you to take joy in all your labor, as it is your God-given duty and privilege by which we glorify Christ in the world. For, as bondservants of Jesus, we aim to labor with excellence to the glory of God. We approach our work with gladness, seeing the grace of God. We make it our ambition to serve Christ by way of serving man. We labor in love, knowing our Father accepts our obedience in His Son. And we remember, whatever our current earthly station, we belong to Jesus. Several years ago, I was introduced to a very old book. It was titled The Practice of the Presence of God by a medieval monk named Friar Lawrence. And Friar Lawrence, his little book, it's a mixed bag. Some things are very good in it. Some things are not so good. But what is so striking about This book is it's sort of a biography of this man, Friar Lawrence, and how in his daily life at the monastery, he sought to always abide in the presence of God. He made it his aim to always seek to abide with God. And he took that first commandment of God, that greatest commandment that our Lord Jesus gave to us, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Friar Lawrence made this observation, echoing the scriptures, that love motivates worship. And as we as Christians live before the face of God, we must see our work, all of our work, as the occasion to abide with Christ and to give Him glory. So as Friar Lawrence was cooking in the kitchen, whether he was cleaning pots and pans, whether he was tending to the garden, whatever labor Friar Lawrence found to do, he sought to do it all out of love for God, in gratitude for Christ, and he saw this work, this obedience, as an occasion for worship. Friends, that is how the Bible teaches that we as Christians ought to see our work as a joyful privilege and duty and the occasion by which we may worship and glorify Christ in the world. We need to see our work as a God-given gift. And that's hard because our work often is monotonous. Our work is often hard. And sometimes our work is often profitless, seemingly. It bears both thorns and thistles, as the scripture says. But here Paul is reminding bondservants, and by extension every one of us who labor under the lordship of Jesus, that it is a privilege and it is a duty to work faithfully to the glory of Christ, and that we should see this as an occasion to find great joy in Him and in our work. So as we spoke last week, friends, remember that as a Christian, you are a bondservant of Christ. You belong to Him. You were redeemed from the power of sin and the flesh and the devil. You are ransomed by the blood of Christ. You belong body and soul to King Jesus. Once you were under the tyranny of sin, but now you are under the liberty that Christ has won through the cross. And the Father has given you such freedom in the gospel to now go forth and be fruitful to His eternal glory. And your work, your labor is a principal avenue by which you glorify Christ in the world. In verse 7, Paul continues his instruction to bond servants, saying, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Rendering service with a good will. Friends, a bondservant of Christ aims to labor with excellence to the glory of God. Notice the first phrase, rendering service. Paul instructs the bondservants at Ephesus that they are to do their work well. Friends, Christians are to be identified as those who are faithful and diligent in every task that's entrusted to them. We are those who are like Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph, how Joseph was sold into slavery. And he was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he was brought down to Egypt. And when he came down to Egypt, he was met and bought by Potiphar, captain of Pharaoh's guard. And we see how even in Egypt, even in his enslavement, the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord blessed Joseph. And the Lord gave to Joseph such an incredible work ethic. Joseph's life is marked by great and faithful stewardship to the glory of God. When Joseph found himself in chains in Egypt, when he found himself in Potiphar's household, he began to do his work faithfully, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord and not to man. And God blessed Joseph, and he blessed the work of his hands, and he found favor in the sight of Potiphar, who exalted him to head steward of his household. And we remember how Potiphar's wife accused him of indecency, and Joseph was thrown into prison. But even there in prison, God was with Joseph and blessed Joseph. And Joseph was marked out as one whom God had given great ability to steward and to manage. Joseph was faithful in his labor, even in prison. And so the prison warden himself entrusted all of the other prisoners to Joseph, because Joseph was found to be faithful. Again, this was ultimately sourced in God, who redeemed Joseph, who gave to Joseph a new heart, who gave to Joseph an aim to labor with excellence and faithfulness where he placed him. And ultimately, we see that Joseph was brought out of prison to become prime minister of Egypt, to be Pharaoh's right-hand man, to be the one that Pharaoh would depend upon to govern the nation. And he was renowned for his stewardship. Friends, God calls us to be faithful in our labor, to render service. That word there is to give service, to give our work, and to do it well. So friends, when you look at the work that you do, you think of your own employment. Friends, are you doing it well? Are you seeking to excel and be faithful in that? Children, students, when you think about your schoolwork, are you thinking, the Lord Jesus has given me this opportunity to go to school? I have the privilege to learn. Christ has called me to this particular school. He's given to me these particular teachers and professors. And now I have the privilege and duty to honor Christ by the quality of the work that I produce. Students, this has radical implications. If you are a bondservant of Christ, this means that you can't deal dishonestly. You're faithful. You make sure that you study well, because you are doing all of this service to the glory of God. Guys, gals, as you are employed in the workforce, are you aiming for just the bare minimum? Or are you aiming to do your work with excellence? To understand that your work is to be done to the glory of Christ. And there may be some of you today who are retired, but your labor hasn't stopped. You have other avenues of labor. You have other work that God's given to you. He's freed you from a 9-to-5 employment, but now He may have given you other responsibilities. Caring for an aging spouse, caring for grandchildren in the home, caring for your family members, and even as your health might be deteriorating, you may not be able to get out and go and do as you used to do, friends. You still have a labor of intercession to pray for the saints, to love and to pour your life into others. Friends, in whatever work you find to do, whatever labor the Lord has entrusted to you today, do it with excellence. Pray and ask the Lord that He would give you skill and ability to do it all to the glory of God. Secondly, not only does the bondservant of Christ aim to labor with excellence, but we approach our work with gladness. Guys, this is critical. The gospel changes the way we even think about our daily work. Guys, it's one thing to do the job well. It's another thing to do it with a sincere, glad, joyful heart. Oh, man. That's really hard. But see, this is how the gospel works. The gospel reveals to us the grace of God. The gospel, as it comes to bear upon my soul, again, I remember that I was made by God for the glory of God. I was made to enjoy God in all of His goodness and grace and love and mercy. I was made by God, and I think about my life. I know I owe everything to my Creator. My breath belongs to Him. This physical body belongs to Him. It is only by His grace that I have the energy to get up in the morning and to go to my job. It is by the grace of God that I have the skill and ability to do the tasks that God sets before me. Friends, the gospel reminds us that our entire life is submerged in the mercy, the grace, the goodness of God. And when I see the grace of God, then I see the severity of my sin. I see how often I am hard of heart. I see the work before me not as something to do to the glory of God, but just as a task that needs to be done. The gospel also reminds us that once we were enslaved to our work, to many times we were slaves to our work. We were slaves to our accomplishments. We were slaves to our achievement. We were slaves to others' opinion of ourselves, and that was tied to our work. But now we have been set free in Christ. The Father has pardoned our guilt. He's taken away our sins. He has given us a new identity as those who are freedmen of Christ. Friends, these truths help reorient how we look at our jobs, how we look at our work. We can approach it with gladness because we can see God's grace in everything. We can see the grace of God to give us this work and to see the opportunity we have there to labor for the glory of God. So friends, when you go to work tomorrow, whether that means going to the office, whether that means staying at home, whatever that work is that God gives to you, and remember, friends, we're all called to labor. God created 6 days for work and one day for rest. And even if that labor looks different now in retirement, dear friends, please aim to labor with excellence and to approach your work with gladness. So we may come tomorrow morning and we say, Father, you know that I have a bad attitude this morning about the work before me. Lord, you know that this is not what I'd like to be doing. I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be watching movies, watching Netflix. I'd rather be doing anything else. But I have a job to do today. You have given it to me. And we pray and ask the Father to change our hearts, to take His Word, and by the truth, let us see His grace in redeeming us from sin, in delivering us from the wrath to come, and setting us on a course to glorify Him in the world. Friends, the gospel changes the way we approach our work. We can approach our work now with joy and with gladness. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Friends, the bondservant of Christ renders service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. He makes it his ambition to serve Christ by way of serving man. So friends, looking back up at verse 7, so we aim to labor with excellence, we approach our work with gladness, and we do all because ultimately we're laboring for the Lord and not for man. This is when we work, friends, sometimes we don't always receive recognition or approval. Many times the work that we do goes unnoticed, or the work itself is ignored. The bondservant of Christ, the Christian, understands that he is serving Christ by way of serving his master, by serving his employer. So, friends, we're looking beyond, we're looking above, we're remembering that the gospel calls us to labor earnestly by the grace of God to the glory of God, aiming to serve the Lord and not to man. Now, does this mean that we don't serve man at all? No, friends, we do serve man, but we are understanding that whether man appreciates it or not, this service is ultimately to the glory of God. And verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. So we're able to approach our work with gladness. We're able to aim for excellence and make it our ambition to serve Christ because we are laboring in love. We know something. Verse 8, knowing, understanding, holding to that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. Friends, our God is a God of righteous recompense. He's a God of just judgment. He's a God who sees A God who hears. A God who brings to account. Dear friends, God has promised that on the day of Christ's return, when the dead are raised and there is a great and final judgment, when every human being who has ever lived stands before Christ, God says that all the works that are done upon the earth will be revealed. And they'll be revealed whether good or evil. For those who are estranged from God, rebels in their sin, there will be great judgment and condemnation. But for those who are in Christ, this will be a day of commendation. Christ Jesus will bring to light the things that were hidden. Those things that went unnoticed. Those works of obedience that were done out of love for Christ that might have gone unseen, unheard, unrecognized. Friends, we labor in love because we know that in the Lord it's not in vain. Your Lord Jesus sees all that is done, all of the love that we render to Him. So friends, we're talking about our good works. Now friends, remember, our good works in no way form the basis of our right standing with God. You are justified. You are declared righteous before God on the basis of Christ's righteousness. Jesus Christ has done everything for your salvation. He has lived for you. He has died for you. He has risen from the dead for your justification. It is the righteousness of Christ alone, imputed to us by God, which is the basis by which God, the righteous judge, declares you righteous, blameless, and acceptable. And by faith you lay hold of Christ. But as you are united to Christ, this union with Christ will always produce works of obedience. And that's what's being described here in verses 7 and 8. These works of obedience that flow out of our union with Christ. Because we are in Christ, because we belong to Christ, now we begin to serve Christ. And we do so knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord. So, friends, remember that God Himself, in His unblemished holiness, is the standard of good works. God is holy. There is no wickedness in Him. He is altogether righteous, loving, faithful, and just. Therefore, the righteousness that God requires is His own. God Himself is the standard. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And friends, this is how we understand that unless or until a sinner is born again, he cannot do any works of obedience that are pleasing to God. There is no worship that sinners can render to God that is acceptable to God until they are born again unto faith in Christ. Because, friends, remember, God looks not only at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Until we are born again, we can do nothing that is truly acceptable to God, because all of these works come from a heart that does not love Christ. So friends, once your heart was hard, once your heart was hostile, once your heart was callous toward God, and even when you and I did good works, even when we rendered service, even when we were faithful in our employment, we did not do it out of a true love for Jesus. And thus God said it was not worship. But when you are born again, God takes away that heart of stone. He gives to you a heart of flesh. God gives to sinners new affections. The power of the new birth is that now the Christian loves Jesus, and therefore wants to serve Jesus with the work that's been entrusted to him. But friends, even though now the heart is renewed, sin still remains in our lives. So when you think about the good works that Christians do, friends, they're still not up to snuff. Remember, God's Righteousness is the standard. And all that God does is righteous and good and true. And even when we're born again, we have new hearts and we truly love Christ. That love for Christ is not perfect. Otherwise, we wouldn't sin. If we loved Christ perfectly, we would never sin. So friends, the Christian, when he is born again, has a true love for Christ, but not a perfect love for Christ. There is a real affection for Jesus, but that affection for Jesus is still mixed with sin. And so friends, in all of our works of obedience, there is, as it were, a pound of flesh. So our good works, friends, even after we've been born again, are still tinged with iniquity. Think about it this way, friends. We could be out right here, right now. I am opening the Word of God to you. I am seeking by the grace of God to preach as faithfully as I can and to expound this Word to you. This is a glorious thing, a wonderful thing. And yet, within my heart, there could be all kinds of intentions, all kinds of ambitions, all kinds of motivations that are swirling about. And with good intention, there is also evil intention. Friends, all of our good works are tinged, marred, speckled with sin. So how can it be that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord? Well, friends, remember that our good works are acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, friends, the Father accepts the most feeble, sin-mixed, weak, frail works. Not because there's any merit in our obedience, not because we're trying to earn God's favor by what we do, but because out of gratitude and thankfulness and love for the Father, we say, Father, I want to serve you. I want to love you. I want to go where you send. I want to do what you've given to me. And yet, friends, out of this heart, there still come sinful motives, sinful thoughts, such that our good works are mixed with it. But they are made acceptable in Christ. Friends, Christ mediates our worship to the Father. Jesus Christ mediates all of our worship and love for God. I've given you this illustration before, but remember the preacher Chrysostom, a golden mouth preacher of Constantinople. He gives the illustration of Christ's mediation of the believer's work of obedience. He says there was a young boy who loved his father very much. And his father had gone away on a long journey. And he knew, the little boy knew, that his father liked flowers very much. So he decided that he would go out into the yard and pick a bouquet for his father, so that when his father came home, he would have this present to offer to him, this bouquet of flowers. And the little boy goes out and he gathers what he can find out into the field, and he brings the bouquet to his mother. And the mother looks at that bouquet, and what does his mother see? But he sees that there are weeds. There are a few flowers here and there, but there's a lot of weeds, a lot of thorns, a lot of ugly plants in this bouquet. It is a motley bunch. And that is our good works. Friends, this rendering service with a good will to the Lord, this love for Christ and service to Him will always be this mixed bouquet. There will be true love for Christ. There will be obedience to Him, but it will be tinged, speckled, smeared with sin all around. But, Chrysostom says, that when the father came home, the little boy presented to his father a beautiful bouquet of flowers cut, trimmed, beautifully arranged. It was a wonderful, beautiful flower bouquet and a beautiful gift to give to his father. And why? Because his mother had gone behind and she had taken out all of the ugly plants, taken out all the thorns. His mother had come and cut and arranged because she knew the heart of that little boy.
He loved his father very much and wanted to give to him something to show his love and affection. Christ's mediation is like the mother who comes and takes our good works. There's no merit in those works, remember? We gain no favor with God because of that. We're not working to gain God's approval, but because we've already been approved, already accepted, already loved in Christ. But out of gratitude and love, we serve Jesus at the work He's given to us. And Christ takes away everything that offends. Christ Jesus takes away everything that is ugly and sinful and wicked. And so when our prayers, when our works, when all of our worship ascends to the Father in His holy place, it is like that sweet incense in the tabernacle of God, a pleasing aroma in the nostrils of God, because it comes through the mediation of Jesus. The Spirit has given to us a new heart to love the Father, to serve Christ in the world, and in Christ our service is acceptable. And the Father is pleased to bless. He's crowning His own good works in us. Friends, remember, you and I can't render any obedience to God. That does not come from God. Let me give you a text. Turn with me a little over to Philippians 2. I want you to look with me. Verses 12 and 13. This is just a page or so over. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Notice this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Pause. Paul is stating here to the Philippians, you have obeyed in my presence. You've heard the word of God and you have believed and you have sought to serve Him. Do it now, not only as you did in my presence, but much more in my absence. Notice the admonition, the imperative, the command. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul is saying you are commanded to work it out, to continue to serve Christ with fear and trembling, but to do so with this confidence. Verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good purpose. Friends, your service to Christ is the result of His sovereign in working. It's the result of Him coming in and by the word of truth, changing your affections, changing your will, inclining you to righteousness and away from vice. It is God who is working in you both to desire and do what God commands. Friends, we render this service not to gain God's approval, but because we've been already been approved in Christ. We labor for Christ and do the work that He's given to us, praying, hoping, resting that God is the one at work in us to desire to do all this for the glory of God. So friends, my prayer for you is that as you go to your work tomorrow, that you would labor in love, knowing that our Father accepts our obedience, however feeble, however frail, however marred with sin, in His Son, Jesus Christ. Rendering service with a good will as to the Lord, not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Dear friends, on the day of Christ's return, when everything is revealed, there will be many stories. There will be many people who have labored oftentimes without public acclaim or recognition that Christ will delight to recognize. Dear friends, some of you might be mothers at home doing things, doing work that is so monotonous or just so in secret. But I want you to remember that God sees this, that Christ sees all of the work that you do for His name's sake. And that is
not in vain. That even if you're changing diapers, even if you're building a crib, even if you're mowing the lawn, if you do this work out of a love for Christ, seeking to do it faithfully to His glory, the Word of God says that it's worship. And that in Christ Jesus, that labor, even if it seems so simple and monotonous, is to the glory of God. And that God in His grace will recognize that. Our labor for Christ is not in vain. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Lastly, friends, the bondservant of Christ remembers his identity. We must remember, whatever our current earthly station, we belong to Jesus. I want you to remember here, bondservant. Remember that word we said last week is doulos, and it has a wide range of relationships in mind, but the central focus is the bondservant is bound to his master. He's bound to his master for as long as the terms of the agreement state. This bondservant can't just up and go and find another employer like you and I might do if we're not happy with our pay or conditions or other remediations. He's bound to his Lord. Friends, whatever your station is, whether you're a bondservant or free, remember that the Lord sees, the Lord has called you to work with faithfulness, but that your ultimate identity is that you belong to Jesus. Dear friends, these earthly relationships we have, of master and servant, of employer and employee, they last for a time and for a season. But we labor as Christians under the Lordship of Christ, knowing that we belong ultimately to Him. So friends, do you recognize that? Do you recognize today that you belong to Jesus? Do you recognize that by nature you are a servant of sin? Not because sin had to come and twist your arm, not because the devil had to force you to do what he wanted, but because your heart was inclined to evil. You loved the darkness. You hated the light. We were all like sheep gone astray, turned each one to our own way. Dear friends, do you recognize that that is your natural state? This is who you are. One who has made himself the bond servant of sin. And that the wages we have earned from this life of iniquity is the wrath of God. That we are estranged from God because of our sin. That we cannot merit God's good favor by our obedience. And then do you hear the gospel, which says that the righteousness which God demands is the righteousness which He provides fully and freely in the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom sinners lay hold of by faith and faith alone. Do you hear the call of God, the summons of God to repent, to turn from your sin and to come to Christ? And now, friends, no one will ever turn to Christ unless he's born again. But when you are born again, you will come most eagerly, most willingly to Christ. You will see the enslavement of your sin, and you will see the freedom that Christ has won for sinners through the cross. So, friends, I pray today that you are finding your identity as those who are bondservants of Jesus, those who belong to Him, body and soul. And I pray that as you recognize who you are in Christ, that that begins to reframe the way you think of the work that God has given you to do. Take joy in it. Even if it's not particularly joyful in and of itself, but take joy in the work, because through this work you can love your God, enjoy Christ, and serve Him faithfully in the world. And that whatever labor is done for His name's sake, it's not in vain. God sees, God hears, and God is pleased to bless. So friends, tomorrow, let's get up and let's serve Christ joyfully in the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We do pray that you give us new hearts, Lord, to love you and to love and take joy in the work that's before us. Father, we pray that we would do it with excellence. We pray that we would always see Christ standing before us as our Savior, that we would recognize that it is through His mediation that these works are acceptable to You. Father, let us not rest in our own power, but upon Your sovereign grace. Father, please continue to change, to reform, to remake our hearts, O Lord, that out of love for You, we might serve You in the world. Father, I pray for our church. I pray for so many fathers and mothers, husbands and wives who have such hard work. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen them by Your Spirit, that You would give them strength for the day ahead. I pray that You would arm them with these truths, O Lord, that they would see that the service they render, Lord, as it comes from a heart that loves You, Lord Jesus, is service that though rendered to men is ultimately given as worship to You. Father, bless Your people as we labor by Your grace to Your glory. In Jesus' name.